God does to me. Brother Gerald, son, a fight breaks out, you ain't going to sit there, are you? Praise God. I'm going to preach on a Bible principle tonight. Brother Darrell, won't you stand right here? Brother Gerald, behind right here. Now, I want you to get a little closer to him, Brother Gerald. Now, Brother Darrell, I want you to let Brother Gerald ahead of you, in front of you. Let him in front of you. I think that's all I need done tonight. Turn in your Bibles, John 14. I want to preach on one little word tonight, found in John's Gospel, chapter number 14. One little word carries a whole lot of meaning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach simply on a daily practice tonight. We've been teaching in a series on Wednesday nights on some simple thoughts of this thing of daily living. I'm glad that there is a Bible that we can live out of daily. We've dealt with the thing of daily living and our daily praying. I wonder today, have you affected anybody by your praying? Daily praying. And then daily preferring, where we were preferring one another before our brother and sisters. But now tonight, in this third message of set of series, I want to deal with this thought of a daily practice. A daily practice. And I want to deal with this simple thought of letting tonight. This word let means to dwell in or to commit or simply do. It means to labor for or to toil or simply to be engaged in. There is an option. Simply make it happen. Now I want to ask you tonight, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That word let sounds like to me there is an option. And with that option, there is an opposition. Certainly, if we could get a hold of this word of let and simply give it the right of way in our life, oh, how much better we would be every day that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark's Gospel, now we're going to have some Bible study tonight. Hope you get used to turning in your Bible. We're going to go to several places tonight, but we'll try to be brief and share this thought with you. In Mark 8 and verse number 34, this simple daily practice of letting. Now, I want you to notice how easy it was for Brother Gerald to get by Brother Darrell when Brother Darrell simply let him by. Easy. Now, he could have had some opposition and said, no, you're not coming by me. You ever seen anybody going shoulder to shoulder and seems like the road's fixing to narrow and they put on gas and you put on gas? And both of you acting crazy. And before long, you've done turned into a chicken disposition and somebody's fixing to have to yield to the right of way. Well, that's the way it is a lot of time in our life when the old man's giving it gas and the new man's giving it gas. And so now it's a dead heap race. I mean, it's nearly a photostatic finish of who's going to win. I heard a preacher preach over at Brother Jamie's on tape last week, I believe one of the best messages I've ever heard. And the preacher talked about the kings that live in our life. He brought the analogy with Saul and David. and how David being the new king and Saul the old king. We have an old king in us tonight called the old king of flesh. And buddy, he is alive and well. It's unbelievable how this old king loves to rule and reign in our life. And he loves to keep the throne, don't he? But it's something about this new king that I found out when I got saved. When this new king Jesus came and moved in me. The Bible said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Behold, all things have become anew to him. And certainly when God moved in you by the Holy Spirit of God, a new king moved in. And you know what? He's wanting the throne of your life tonight. He wants to sit on the throne of our heart. And where we get in trouble, we got these two kings going on in us. That old man, that old fleshly person that we were born with, we were born in. Then we got the Spirit of God that lives in us as a new king, and both are wanting the throne. Boy, I tell you, you've got to keep that old man beat down. You've got to keep him whooped. I'm telling you, because he'll raise his ugly head up in a New York minute. Have you ever went to bed full of God and woke up full of the devil? Have you ever left church full of God, and by the time you eat Sunday dinner, you're full of the devil? Ain't it amazing? I mean, ain't it amazing how you can leave a service and you feel so good and you so feel the Spirit of God, and man, you're walking in and somebody say something wrong or you do something wrong, and all of a sudden that old king that lives in you raises his head up and he takes over the throne from the new king. So it's a constant battle. I mean, it's just a battle tonight. And you that are lost don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you trying to do good and do better. Honey, it was a grand and glorious day, the day that the new king moved in my life and washed away all my sins and set up a new kingdom in my heart. And oh, tonight I'm trying my best to let him sit on the throne of my heart. Oh, before long you'll see that he'll go to getting you money and he'll go to getting you some of your quiet time. But really, he's just not wanting your little things. He wants everything. He wants the throne tonight. And I'm convinced of that. So this thing of letting, that's why the Bible said there's a choice. You've got a choice if you're saved tonight. And if you're not saved, you don't have the choice. You can only do what you're doing. You can try to do better and all that stuff, whereas you need the Spirit of God that lives in your heart. And certainly we see this daily practice of letting. Now, in Mark 8:34, it's a thing here. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, that lets me know that we can get just as close to Jesus as we want to get, but there's the power of letting in that verse. We've got to let him. You see that? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. You've got to let him come in. You've got to let this thing happen. You've got an option. The same thing with your heart being troubled. There is no reason, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. There's no reason that we have to walk around all the time with a troubled heart. When we start thinking about how bad things are and we get to thinking that nobody can help us and it seems like our situation is so dark and bleak, then our heart begets trouble. But Jesus said, let not your heart get that way. Don't let it get in that kind of condition. Well, preacher, how in the world can I keep it from letting it get that way? Read our Bible, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together to good for them that love God. Friend, there are no accidents with Him. And He's ruling and reigning. And certainly He's working everything out for our good. And it would be a great and a glorious day if we could look up above our circumstances and let not our heart get troubled. Letting. And then in Romans 6, in verse number 11, Romans 6, it simply means giving the right of way or simply doing. Romans 6. How many people love to put off jobs to the last minute? Can I see your hand tonight? Have I got many? I know it must be a house full tonight. I mean, it's amazing how it is. I've been wanting to paint our garage for a long time. I finally went. Brother Wayne, I bought the paint. That was one step to the right process. And the thing sat in my garage so long, Brother David, nearly had to go get it reshook. I mean, the thing nearly turned to clay. What are you talking? I had good intentions, but I simply didn't let it happen. And we've got an option. And so certainly we would do a lot better if we would let this thing of let get in our life. Let. So it lets me know that there must be something better than what we're doing if we would simply let it happen. Romans 6 and verse number 11, the Bible said, likewise reckon or calculate ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here it is, let not. Boy, this little word's every place. Everywhere you look, nearly it's everywhere. Let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body. Now, you've got an option tonight if you're saved. If you will sick the Holy Ghost on that old man, he'll defeat him. But if you sick the old man on the Holy Ghost, he'll deceive him. You don't believe me? Just go about a week without prayer and Bible study, giving yourself to Christ. You'll be so worldly, you won't even know God lives in you. He said, let not. Now, I've got an option. You know, a lot of times a remote gets us in a lot of problems. A computer mouse will get you in a lot of problems. You didn't have to click on that ugly website. You didn't have to punch on that ugly TV show. You didn't have to do that. You had to let it happen or let it not happen. He says, let not. You don't have to go to the beer joint and be around with the rest of that crowd. You don't have to go to the card game and be a... You don't have to do that. Ain't nobody making you do that but that old man in you. Let not. And we cop out. We say the devil made us do it. We ain't got no scripture for that. God said when the devil comes by and tempts us, that in that same temptation, God would give us a way of escape. And if we'd turn the door and get out of Dodge, we'd be a lot better in the family of God tonight. Let not sin dwell in your mortal body. Sin is a cop-out. Let not. You got an option. Let it not. Well, preacher, I've got a problem with sin. You know why? Because you're letting it be a problem. Simply letting it be a problem. Let not. Then he says this, verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. There's a stronghold in me and you that loves sin. Do you hear me tonight? Don't care how long you've been saved. I got saved in 1981. That's 27 years I've been saved. It ain't a day goes by in my life that this old man ain't rearing his ugly head up. He loves sin. He loves hog slop. And if you turn him in a hog yard, he's going to slop with the rest of the pigs. But you always remember the Spirit of God lives in you. You're not going to get by for doing what you used to do. Let not. We got an option. Let not sin. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion. That word is lord over. Sin shall not have dominion over ye, for you're not under the law but under grace. And I'm going to say something real hard tonight as your pastor. If you want to quit smoking and the Spirit of God lives in you, you can. If you want to quit drinking and the Spirit of God lives in you, you can. If you want to quit looking at ugly books and dirty movies and things that you're hooked on in the flesh, you can. If the Spirit of God lives in you, sick Him on the old man and let Him defeat it and give you victory in your life. We can do all things through Christ. We're more than conquerors through Him. We can do nothing by the flesh, but the Spirit of God can kill the old man tonight. We've got an option. You ain't got to be worldly. Our church ain't got to be worldly. The reason is so many worldly churches, they know nothing about the power and the Spirit of God. And they think you're a bunch of charismatics and holy rollers if you mention the Spirit of God. Honey, I'd rather have the Holy Ghost than anything I know tonight. Y'all think I'm crazy. Yesterday I misplaced my truck keys. I told my wife, I said, I'm so amazed what the Holy Ghost just showed me. Brother David, I bowed my head to me. I said, oh, Holy Ghost, I need to know where my keys are. And to show us I'm standing in this pulpit tonight, God showed me right where to go. It amazed me where they is at. The Spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth tonight. And without Him, we can do nothing. You talking about little things, you crazy. Well, leave me alone and let me stay crazy tonight. Just leave me alone. Go back to your dead world and your dead church. I'll take the Spirit of God tonight. What a Savior. What a Jesus. So let not sin reign or be king. He has no reason being king in your life. I hate for anything to have a dominance over me. You've heard it 1,512 times. Tonight, 1,513 times. I loved Copenhagen so much, Brother Mike, it had me in jail. Had me in a chain gang. You could take me to the best steakhouse in the country. I didn't care what kind of steak they had. I wanted to know, did I have some Copenhagen for after the meal? Had me in chain gang. Everywhere I went, I had to have Copenhagen. I got tired of that lifestyle. And you know what I've done? I submitted to the Lordship of the Holy Ghost. And I said, Holy Ghost, I need help with this old flesh in my life. Holy Ghost, kill it and crucify it. I don't want to be doing this. Give me power in my life by the Holy Ghost. And praise God tonight, I'm debt free. Ain't debt free, but I'm debt free, glory to God. You say, does it really work? You better know it works. Let not. And then watch this. And sounds like we got another option in Romans 12 and verse number 9. Romans 12 and verse number 9. We find another let. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, simply, let it be real. Sound like to me you've got to roadblock it to not let it be real. Let love be without hypocrisy. We got an option on this love business. And boy, here's something too. Romans 13 and verse number 1. You ever find verses you wish you hadn't found? I do pretty good. I find verses, Brother Bart, that goes against this redneck nature in me. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, Obama or his mama. We're supposed to vote our conviction. We're supposed to do what's right. We're supposed to stand for what's right. But honey, nothing's never took our God by surprise. He said, preacher, I don't believe that. You don't believe your Bible. I mean, simply look what it says. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. Let me ask you, is your employer a higher power? Sure he is. Sure she is. Boy, it got quiet as a field mouse end, didn't it? They tell you, get a broom, go sweep. You know what you need to do? Go get you a broom, go to sweeping. We love to buck authority, don't we? For there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. A speed limit sign is authority. Oh me. Go and shake that mule head tonight. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. And if not, they got this thing that they carry around in a car called a ticket book. And so if you disobey the laws of the land, you're going to pay the price. See, we've raised a generation that thinks it's no payday someday. We've raised a generation that knows nothing about authority. That's why Baptist church is in a mess tonight. They know nothing about authority. He said, let every soul be subject to the higher power. And then, boy, like this, Romans 13 and 12. Look what it says. Let us, verse 12, here they are back to back. The night is far. The night is far spent. The day's ahead. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness and put on something good. He said, cast off that old stuff you're doing that ain't right and put on some things that are good. And then he says, simply let. And then in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife, and amen, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Friend, let me tell you something. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You're not strong enough. You cannot defeat sin in your flesh. This flesh has an old nature in us that's so big. Aren't you glad your soul's saved, but your flesh ain't saved? The day God saved you, He saved your soul. But friend, your flesh is headed to the graveyard. And it's awful. This flesh is ugly. And that's what gets us in trouble. We let the flesh be dictator. We let it be king. We ought to let the Lord govern everything in our life. Well, preacher, how do I let the Lord govern everything? Well, you've got to know something about the Bible. You've got to read it. You can't just wait for your pastor to tell you about it three times a week. You've got to get in and see what God wants you to do in every situation. Boy, this flesh don't like praying for your enemy, does it? We're raised to beat the far out of somebody. Right? Well, you've got to find in your Bible where it says if you'll just pray for him, and so it's just heaping coals of fire on the head. And so that's what he's saying. He says, let not these works of darkness happen. You've got an option. There's a man made me so mad the other night. Any of y'all ever get mad? Miss Flo, do you get mad? I thought you did. If you didn't, I was going to worry. There's a man over here in the curve at the station at John. He made us absolutely, I just like got a lot of trouble there the other night. Now, I had an option. Y'all could read about me in the newspaper, I could do right. And I chose to do right. But now you think about it a minute, we've got an option. A lot of times when we get mad, boy, we just fuel it, don't we? We just fuel it, man. Instead of putting the fire out, we're throwing gas on that thing. And this thing about our brother and sister, well, it'd be all right, just slap him. It'd be all right, slap him. That ain't the way. Pray for him. Pray for him. Lord, this bunch in this church don't need no agging on to do wrong. Well, I know them good folks is up the road and down the road, but thank God for folks that make mistakes here. So let us cast off. And then, boy, here's something. Romans 14:13. Romans 14:13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Judge, jury, and courtroom. I don't like you, preacher. Is that right? Judge not. You be not judged, what the Bible says. You know, I'm going to tell you how ignorant some people can be. I got a good preacher friend. His wife is really detrimentally sick, really bad. And some old ugly church member walked up to her the other day and said, I can tell you why you're sick, because that man you live with done us wrong. I wonder what people's going to do about Job suffering, living right. You know, they've listened to so many of them bozos on TV. They know nothing about what God teaches in the Bible, about what real people. Let me tell you something. You will have more tribulation trials than you will anything down here. Because, see, if you had everything about heaven here, it wouldn't be heaven there. Matter of fact, can I tell you tonight, child of God, prosperity will hurt you more than trials will. Prosperity will hurt you a lot more than tribulation. Tribulation will take you to God. Prosperity will take you away from God. So I don't know where everybody gets this. If bad things happen to somebody, it's called sin. Don't necessarily mean that's right. The Bible said it was nobody like Job, and he lost everything he had down here. So be careful that you're not judging. And I've noticed this about pastoring Baptists and raising young'uns. Oh, don't never say my young'uns won't do that. And always be careful to say this. I told you so. Because by the time you get it out of them lips of yours, it's coming down toward where you stay at. Don't judge. He says simply, don't let it happen. It's amazing what you find you go to dig in this Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9. We'll get 6. Goes with it. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so, here it is, let. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So let him give. Why ain't you giving? He said simply just let him give. Sound like we got an option there. And then Galatians 5 and 25. Galatians 5, 25. Enough about money. Some of you looking like we was going to have a heart attack. Brother Kevin, go get that defibrillator out from in yonder, whatever that thing is. That thing you hit people say, booyah! Galatians 5, verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us, boy, that word's everywhere. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Vainglory, what's that? That's wanting to get ahead of somebody when they ain't asked you to sing. They ain't asked you to preach. They ain't asked you to be center of attention. He said, don't be desirous of vainglory. He said, no, that's worth nothing. Provoking one another and envying one another. There's some old jealousy and animosity in Baptist churches you can shake a stick at. You know why people get offended at church? Because they think too much of themselves. And you know why that you're jealous if you're jealous? Did you know in 24 years of public work and managing crazy people, I never, Brother Gilbert, was never ever jealous of nobody under me, just them ahead of me. So tonight, if you got that green-eyed monster of jealousy in you, I can tell you why. They ahead of you. And so swallow it and put on your big boy britches and move on. Amen, preacher. Mr. Now, you need to preach a little tonight. You've got that one down pat. Galatians 6 and verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us. Simply let us. Do good to all men, especially them who are the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let us. Just simply let us do good. Talking about this little word let, to just make it happen or simply do. Boy, Ephesians 4 and 26. Here's a wonderful verse. Ephesians 4 and 26. A lot of you done got more what you come for. Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now that's possible. Brother Joe, not most of the time, but it is possible. Right, Brother David? Be ye angry and sin not. Now, how do I do that? You don't show your backside. Amen. Can you understand that kind of preaching tonight? You can be upset, but not get ugly about it. Oh, me. Every time I do it, I got to apologize. Be ye angry and sin not. Here it is. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Couples, I can tell you a great policy in your marriage. Never go to bed mad. Get your differences situated before you go to bed. Boy, my mom and daddy told me that principle. And I don't reckon I never heard my mom and daddy fuss, Mr. Flo. I don't reckon I did. He had a word that would stop my mama. Christine, but it's over. End of conversation. So like the way he run us youngins. That's all he had to do. I'd do this. A lot of youngins, you don't know what that is. They go to dancing you a jig, you go to doing that. You need to get their attention. Let not the sun go down. Boy, here's something, Ephesians 4 and 29. Watch this. Whew. Ready? Let not. You got an option. Quit talking ugly. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying that may minister grace to the hearers. People's listening to us. Little smutty jokes, off-colored stuff. They listening. Preacher, I don't like it. I don't either. But he's saying, let not. People's watching you whether you like it or not. Ephesians 4:31. Ooh. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a pastor called me today from another church. He said, I need your opinion and your advice on something, Brother Ken. I said, okay, what is it? He said, we've got a couple in our church. And said, the man's always bringing up his wife's past. And he's just let it got so big that's just about ready to separate and divide that home. He said, Brother Ken, this lady just got saved back around Christmas. And now he's bringing up everything that he done back yonder. I said, well, why is he bringing it up and Jesus don't? Look what this Bible says, folks. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How in the world can you not forgive somebody and expect God to have forgiven you? It's a mouthful. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. And then, boy, here's something good. Philippians 2. I wish I could get a hold of it. Philippians 2. I mean, I'm serious. I wish I could practice this verse in my life in the ministry. Brother Joe Deese, if there's any verse in the Bible I'll cover tonight, I wish I could practice this verse right here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When that cross comes to you, I don't know about you, but my mind runs crazy with me. Any of y'all got a problem with worrying? Let this mind. In other words, he says, I've got an option. He said, I can have the mind of Christ in me if I let it come in my mind. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to pick the gate up and take the pin out of the latch, and we've got to open it up and let this mind of Christ in. We've got an option. We've got to let it happen. And this is the thing about it. It don't mean you've got to run laps. You ain't got to do push-ups. It's just simply let. How big of a deal was that for Brother Darrell to let him ahead of him? Just a mind thing, wasn't it? mind engaged, yeah, I want to do that. Where our problem is, when our mind engages, that old nature says, oh, I don't want to do that. We've got a disconnect going on. So what we've got to do, we've got to be more like Christ. We want to live like this Bible says. And then that disconnect gets hooked up. Let this mind be in you. And then Colossians 3 and 15. Boy, here's a powerful verse. Colossians 3 and 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Why do we get so troubled about everything? Brother Rodney, in the building this addition back here, now I'm saying, well, how are we going to pay for it? I guess he's going to pay for it the way he did this. Ain't nobody around here got no money. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad we ain't got no big old highfalutin outfit. Because when folks give a pile of money, it's always things go with it. Preacher, you better not offend us. We take our little money and run. Hit the road, Jack. Hit the road. See, if I go to catering to you, and go to catering to you, and go to catering to you, and you, for long I'm a caterer, not a preacher. Then we ain't got no church. We can't hear from God. We got a man there trying to please the big crowd. Don't y'all get silent on me tonight. No, I'm a telling it right. Don't offend them. They give more money than anybody. Really. Let this peace rule in your heart. What a verse, 3:15. Look, and let the peace of God rule. Let Him be king in your heart. Don't let things bother you so much. Let it. Sounds like to me we ain't got to look for nothing else. Just simply let it. Can somebody help me with that tonight? I'm drowning up here. Simply let it. In other words, we ain't even got to go look for it. We just simply got to, the Holy Ghost just showed me. All we got to do is get out of the way. That's all he did, got out of the way. Let. Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? Let it.
Not going to do it. I wasn't raised that way.
Well, you got a different father now. You're in a new family now. Boy, I like this. Colossians 3 and 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm so glad we sang them old songs here. We are so blessed to have Brother David, Brother Tim that can sing these old songs and lead us through them old songs. Thank God, Miss Flo, we got piano players that can play that old-time songs. And this is what he says, let the word dwell in you richly. And then Colossians 4 and 6, any of you raising children, you better get hold of this verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Crow goes down with a little salt on it a lot better. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let it. In other words, don't be so hard. Don't be so pharisaical. Don't be such like you're a Pharisee and in the thing of making the law. I told you that happened to them. I told you about him. I told you about her. Man. He said, let it be with grace, seasoned. You know, when somebody falls and gets in sin, what the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore. such a one, considering thyself. Buddy, we better get a hold of some grace and salt and go to eating on it. And by the way, ain't you glad that failure ain't final? I wonder how many of you have done something that would get you knocked out of the ministry and God give you another chance. I wonder how many of you have done something that the church ought to kick you out, but God give you another chance. I'd say if we throwed everybody's deal up on a video tonight and showed everything about us, I doubt if there'd be many folk left around. Jesus said, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. I'm not talking about tolerating sin neither. I'm talking about when a brother or sister repents of their sin and says they're sorry, genuinely sorry, godly sorrowful, you're to forgive them and restore them. I'm not talking about tolerating sin. There's a man here, and some of you going, I don't even want to bring that up. You ain't spiritual enough to handle it. But I can tell you one thing, honey. If you sell beer and lottery tickets and you sell liquor out of a store, you will not be a member of this outfit. Right's right. Come to church here all you want, but you won't join up. And I've had them talk to me just like I'm a polecat for it. But ain't it something used to way back yonder of what our forefathers stood for? Wimpy preachers don't stand that way no more. You want to have a house of God, the Holy Ghost in there, you want to have some kind of amusement center. I feel a little preach coming tonight. That's why churches is in trouble. They get to leaning, no standards. Anything goes. Just come on, anything goes. Wear your short breeches, come on in. Bring your Starbucks coffee, bring your dozen donuts too. Just come on. No Holy Ghost nowhere. What happened to old-time Holy Ghost Baptist churches where sinners would fall under conviction and get gloriously saved? God ain't changed. God ain't went nowhere. We've changed. Nobody's perfect. But we've got to have standards or you don't have the Holy Ghost. You know yourself. This generation wear their Bermuda shorts in here and their sunglasses cocked on their head Sunday morning. Caps on. You bring that singing crowd in, honey. Brother Dave, you know I'm a preaching tonight. They'll come in, their big old bozo hats on, sit down in the house of God, wouldn't give a nickel for one lick of preaching, but drive 100 miles to hear a bunch of men dressed alike to sniff their diesel fuel. Hallelujah. Ain't scared. We need one of them on our Bible cover, Brother David. Ain't scared. You know they redneck boys got them on their windshields. Ain't scared. That's what's wrong with Baptist preaching. Now they got some wimpy that quit preaching, Brother Larry. Amen. Got little girlfriends in the church. Running around their chicken and their women. Yeah. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, preacher, I can't believe you say all that. I can't believe you'd think any other way. I can't believe you'd think no other way. Well, I don't like that. Raises my hair up, then turn the dog, honey. If you don't like the way the hair is being rubbed, turn the dog. It'll lay down. I've started in this old way. By His grace, we're going to finish that way. Hebrews 4:16, and I'll be closing down. Hebrews 4:16. That rabbit got up. We eat rabbit a little bit. Hebrews 4:16. I love fried rabbit, don't you? Glad I'm in a country church that likes rabbit. Hebrews 4:16. I just don't like it, preacher. Get it down, you. I hope you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why don't we? Because we simply won't. Let us. come boldly, throne of grace, we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. We need grace. We need help. We don't know how to raise children. God knows how to raise children. We don't know what our church needs. God knows what our church needs. Let us come. Then Hebrews 22, let us draw near. Then Hebrews 12, let us lay aside. And then Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. And then I close with this, Hebrews 13 and 15. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. In other words, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Just let it. Why don't you praise the Lord? The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Y'all go down and watch them kids play ball. Man, you'll shout and holler. I mean, you forget about everything. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about praise the Lord. Throw your hands up to Him, praise Him sometime. He'll wave back at you. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Well, preacher, I want to know something. How I get saved? Not joining the church. Amen. Not doing better. You got to get under conviction of your sin and realize you're a sinner. And then you come to Christ by faith. Boy, I'm glad He saved sinners tonight. I'm glad I'm in a church where God's moving by the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe it still works. Our country tonight is not in a mess because of preaching. It's in a mess because of the lack of it. Now, anything goes. The first time that our high courts, they allowed a Hindu priest to open in prayer this year. Hindu priest. Knows nothing about the God of this Bible. Is now leading our legislature through its assembly at the White House. Now you tell me we not in a mess tonight? Somebody quit preaching. And then they figured out it was a lot easier to pastor a church without preaching. It'd be easy to come in here and give you a little old Sunday school lesson. It'd be easy to come in here and look, bring a little Reader's Digest, tell you about some little soothing story to help your emotion. But honey, you stand up with this Bible and take a stand, you're going to fight it by the acre. Even flies hate me.